SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're now listening to the best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But now, but here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
yeah,
right
but for
now.
North. And the dream team of callers.
Right? I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas. Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too.
Well,
it's easy. It feels good.
It was, wasn't it? Man.
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players' props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge SportsGrid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub's show, man, and I have been
awesome.
Addicted.
And let me give a shout-out to my man, JP, holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the SportsGrid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Up, rocking and rolling, new week, new money right here. It's what we do on Moneyline. Oh, yes. And we are through week zero in college football. We are waiting for week number one in NFL action. My goodness.
Let me talk to you.
I mean, K-Dub, talk to the people out here. It's an exciting time. Talk to them.
Man, I'm excited, but now the temperature check that I feel mandatory here. Mr. Wrightside, week zero college football, you would say, all right, I'm glad it's on the TV, but quite frankly, what do we do when I hate these games?
Yeah.
But your wallet says maybe the greatest week of football I've ever seen, and I hope every week is week zero. Does your vibes around week zero change due to the electric weekend that you had?
Yeah, I'm starting to think, like, just, you know, betting mismatches is always more fun than the ranked versus ranked opponents now at this point. So just give me massive mismatches. You can have some fun, which, again, last week I had Notre Dame over 34.5 team total, cruised right by that. And then I had San Jose State over 17.5 points, cruised right on by that. And also, watching the boys on the show, I was like, you know what? A little odds boost here. So I went with Clemson to win the national championship at 32-1. Again, not because I think Clemson's going to win it, but I think they have a legitimate chance to make the college football playoff. That means that ticket will be money. And then also went, you know what? Let me just get back into the mix here, which I love some of these red zone game day, you know, bonus bets you can make, which included. I really couldn't understand that one because I used a 30% odds boost on it, which I think made like plus 440, I want to say. And it was a touchdown pass every quarter in USC San Jose State.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody was following through, like, obviously we know Caleb is just going to be slinging it. And he was. But the kid on the other sideline was no slouch either. I'm like, now if I can just, I thought if I could make it to the second half, meaning like, okay, he didn't get that lull in the first quarter where teams are trying to feel each other out. And I was right. Once you got to the second half, they blitzed it right over. I was like, man, this is a perfect bet, man. Loved it.
Yeah. It's funny enough, when you kind of play the game back in your head, the quarter that was, I would say, the most dangerous really was quarter number one, right? Just because USC didn't
That's
start.
That's what I thought it was going to be. Yeah.
Am I right with that? USC didn't start with the football, right? And obviously that's the side you're looking on. And, you know, they were able to convert a passing touchdown. But, you know, USC
third
scored 56
too.
Points. Not It wasn't like it was, you know, passing touchdowns only for that team in the game, right? So had they gotten a little bit closer, they were willing. And that, like, it was not a performance, in my opinion. And I don't know if you would disagree, where it was, all right, we have to get Caleb his numbers. Kind of, he just naturally secured them in a game where San Jose State didn't have an answer for their athletes there. So that was the quarter that I thought, you know, was really your biggest sweat because, you know, things started to pop off. And I remember, because I started following along for you because, you know, even if I didn't bet it, which personally I was like, nah, dang it. But I was still rooting for you, right? Because we told the people about it. And I think at the very end of the third quarter, Cordero hit a touchdown pass. I'm like, oh, man, I hope that it's not like a minute too soon. And I mean, I think they just came out and got one right away then to begin the fourth quarter. So, yeah, that was an awesome, awesome one. And oddly, I wonder, let's like, they're not going to hang that for another USC game maybe all season.
Yeah, because also the San Jose State, that touchdown with a minute 50 to go, I actually didn't mind it because I knew that like SC would get the ball right back, but they returned a kick. I'm like,
okay.
I mean, I don't really mind because it doesn't waste time, but that means it's a three-score game now, and they didn't score any points on their offense, so I thought it was going to be interesting the way, but it turns out you technically didn't even need the touchdown by USC to start the fourth quarter. 5 minutes to go, you got one from Cordero, but it was one of those where you sort of, because again, there was 12 minutes to go in the game, but it was a blowout. I'm like, if they run this in or don't score a touchdown here, then you're really dealing with some, oh no, I hope something goes my way. But that little slip screen to the house, I was like, you know what, that's fantastic. Let me just not sweat it. Even though Nash caught a two-yard pass from Cordero late there. I was the only little, like, where I stood up a little bit. But again, you talked about the first quarter. 6:32 on the clock. That was a third down pass for a touchdown.
Yep.
That's incomplete. That's a field goal. That's San Jose State. 3 minutes and a punt down to the USC 20. And then I'm going like, okay, USC's got to score a touchdown in 2 minutes and 15 seconds when it's not the half, right? They're not going in all pro super speed mode. So worked out my direction. It was a lot of fun. It technically was in the sweat, but I did have a lot of fun watching it live. So I enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Yeah, no, again, I think that's the one thing, because we know what week zero is. It just get us a couple of the big teams on there, and then again, we won't have this issue, I guess, ever again, but also just make sure they're not playing on the Pac-12 network. I mean, just quickly, Don, like, I took almost a play from your playbook, because you know how for you, when you're watching your sports, you're like, look, I'll spend whatever it costs. I want to watch my stuff.
Yes.
And I said, you know what? I'm buying the Pac-12 network. I don't care. But it was the first time I've ever looked into it to realize that, oh, I have to basically call Verizon, cancel Verizon, get an Xfinity account. Yeah, never mind. We're not doing any of this. Like, I just got infuriated right away.
Yeah, so. Xfinity has the Pac-12 network, which I've watched it a lot in the past. But it's funny. If you ask me, like, what channel it was, I don't know. Like, I have to talk into the mic, like, Pac-12 Network, and there it comes. And I got to enjoy it. Otherwise, as we talked this morning, I wasn't going to look for that game, and I never would have. And I'm sure a lot of people thought the same thing. It's Moneyline. It's a Monday. New week, new money. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Up and Adam in hour number one, new week, new money. Guys, want to reach out to us? You know how easy it is to do a money line, 844-843-6879. Also, if you want to get a hold of us here on X, hashtag SG Moneyline. And I'm glad I said that here because I am going to get that up right on my computer right now. There we go. You can hear me typing it in. So there you go. If you want to fire away there, hit us up, hashtag SG Moneyline. Any of the hottest topics you got here. Also, any plays that you might want tonight, or you're going to fire away on tonight. We're going to get busy. I'm going to talk to you guys in just a little bit. When the error in my ways yesterday for taking some RBI props, I should have had a banner day yesterday, and I squeezed out a tiny profit when it should have been large. So we'll get to that and more. Also, week one of NCAA football is this weekend. Obviously, week zero last week, so we got some good games on deck. But as the wait now begins here in the NFL, to see what's going to take place over the next 24 to 48 hours, who's getting cut, rosters will be finalized, then we won't hear all that much until the regular season does begin. There's a lot of things that still have to be decided, like running back Jonathan Taylor. Is he going to play this year for the Indianapolis Colts or for somebody else? Because that decision technically has to be made by tomorrow, because the Colts put one of those, you know what, here's our deadline. We're not going to make a deal if it's after Tuesday. We'll see if that's the case here. We'll see if he does change teams, and we'll see how that all plays out. But as we were talking about, SC and San Jose State, game was tied 7-7 with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. Then this happened.
Trustworthy. What you want as a quarterback, the wideout, you know he's going to be in the spot you hope he'll be at.
Seventy-six-yard touchdown pass from Caleb Williams. Unbelievable to Taj Washington. One of those where, again, you don't have a Heisman moment against San Jose State, but my goodness, in front of a packed house and a tie game to start the season, you drop the football, go backwards, pick it up instead of falling on it, roll out to your right, and launch a laser beam about 40 yards downfield
where you see Taj Washington catch, turn on the afterburners, and away USC went. Dominant performance by the offense, a little bit left to be desired, I think we can all agree, on the defensive side. But my goodness, that certainly is the way that you would like to start a season. It'd be a lot of fun. And also, Kevin and I talked about on the early line when we were trying to line up and say, you know what? SC looks like they got an easy run for the first 5 to 6 weeks. So we might have a number one, two, or three USC squad show up and play Notre Dame.
Oh, I get, yeah, the... Man, I was looking at it too, DRS, like the USC schedule. I know this is the point you're making in terms of the teams not being tough, right? But where Caleb will be statistically under that same guideline heading into that game, again, I am not enough. This is probably going to sound odd for people to say I'm not a believer in USC enough to bet his Heisman price, but bet the boosted odds for them to win the Pac-12. But look, those two things are simultaneously true for me. I'm not a believer in this team enough to bet Caleb to win the Heisman, but if he goes to Notre Dame, having taken full advantage of that light schedule, and does win in South Bend, I mean, we might be, what's that, 7 or 8 weeks into the season, Donnie, where he would potentially flirt with a minus price.
It's he's going to be there because the numbers he's going to put up by default over the first like 6 weeks of the season are going to be pretty incredible. And then if you play a team like, let's just say Notre Dame comes in unbeaten at that point, you might have a titanic battle like midway through the season. Is something that we all certainly want to see at that point. Now, I want to ask you this question because we're going to be pivoting across the board, going over a couple different things. Did you see or hear what Matthew Stafford, his quote was? I don't know if it came out over the weekend or if it was yesterday. Did you see that?
No, you're going to have to give it to me.
Yeah, let me just bring it up because I just had it up and somehow it's escaped me right here. But Matthew Stafford, and let me see here because I want to read this and not even give you like a round the bat. I want to read it almost directly here. So Matthew Stafford. Jesus, man.
Stafford in hot water?
Yeah, he's not in hot water, but his quote, here we go. Ready? Trending. And it says, Matthew Stafford is having a hard time connecting with his young teammates, having to go as far as having the equipment staff print out a Facebook quote so that he could remember everyone his name and get an attempt to get to know them. He was also in a separate quote, which I guess I'm going to paraphrase this because I can't find it. Something similar to the effect of, you know, I don't know if I can connect with these young guys at this point. Like something, like just the worst type of quote that you want to have is what he gave here. Okay, yeah. I got it right here. Dove Kleiman tweeted this out. Quote, I don't know how to lead people I have no connection with. I have to somehow find a way to connect with them. What?
So, yeah, that...
He's not that old. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, that seems very over the top, right? Like, just get one of the cornerbacks to buy... Get Aaron Donald to buy him a chain with his number on it, like Sauce Gardner did Aaron Rodgers. Right. My thing is, I don't know how to lead when I can connect... You don't need to listen to the same music as these guys in order to be their starting quarterback. The part of it, Donnie, that comes off like a joke, though, he doesn't know what anyone's... He can't remember who Tutu Atwell is?
Yes, correct.
Who is he not able to remember? Like, I'm... Is he having memory problems? It shouldn't be that. It's a 53-man roster. You can figure that out if you want. Just have a conversation with them.
Like, he's just like in the locker room, Kevin Riley's like, hey, Maddie, yeah, my guy Maddie, you know what I mean?
100%. Yeah. I mean, that's...
You know what? Just let it rip. Hope it goes the way you want to at this point. But also, I did a sigh here because, you know, usually you get this information from Matthew Stafford or somebody in the locker room or, you know, agent. Do you know this actually came? You know who dropped this information, which I love? Via the morning after... Which again is not Ben Stevens.
Huh?
It's Kelly Stafford show.
Wow.
The morning after with Kelly Stafford, his wife. So his wife went out there and said, hey, you know what? Matt comes home and he's just talking and he's like, you know what? I just don't like these kids, man. I don't even want to get to know them. Is that what I'm hearing?
Man. First of all, gimmick infringement. Second of all, I mean, that's hot water, right? Like, what are you doing now? Like, now everyone knows I don't. Like, there's no way he said, yeah, go ahead and, like, rip that on the podcast. That's, isn't that coming home from a tough day at work, being like, man, I'm really struggling to connect with my teammates here? So what's the deal?
Are we looking for implosion? Because, you know, I'm low on the Rams this year. Like, I think it's all going south. But, at, like, from Matthew Stafford, who is ready to break down physically, to now is like, look, I get in the locker room. Is he even having fun playing football? Like, what do you get out of that tweet? Like, I don't connect with any of these guys. Does he go in there and eat lunch in his car like, you know, Nnamdi Asamoah used to do with the Philadelphia Eagles because he had no friends on the team? I mean, what's going on here?
Is that what Nnamdi had to do?
Yeah, that was the big news back in the day when Nnamdi signed. Like, you know, it might not just be a fit here, and somebody leaked out that every day he eats by himself in his car at lunch. I mean, you know what I mean? Is it that bad for Stafford?
All right. I mean, can I blame that on Chip Kelly? I mean, that's craziness. So the guy, you had a guy eating, especially that guy.
That was the Super Bowl team. That was the team that had more talent of Ronnie Brown. I mean, come on now.
Dream team.
Man. All right, yeah, get back to Matthew Stafford in the morning after with Ben Stevens. Here, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we quote this where it really is coming from? TMA.
I mean, can we rip this? I mean, I'm just so... Now that you tell me the source, though, it's one of those things where it's like, well, now it's obviously true, and it now more than likely didn't want to... They, like... We always say, you know, reports get out for a reason. Someone's working an angle. Yeah. Except this angle's probably like, I'm just talking on my podcast. Like, what's the big deal?
Well, also, the best part about this is like, Kelly Stafford, I'm sure his podcast is irrelevant until she keeps bringing up her husband in some ridiculous, like, scenarios from the team. Yeah. Like, oh, you know, I made cookies today. I did a workout. I went to work. And by the way, my husband said he doesn't connect with anyone on his team. Bing! Now we got ratings. I mean, come on now. The morning after with Kelly Stafford, no. The morning after with Ben Stevens. I mean, that's the way to go here at this point. This is Moneyline. This is the afternoon, and we will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. Back, I am yours.
Letting it rip in the afternoon. Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Get a hold of us. It's Donnie and Kevin, 844-843-6879. Whether you are on X, I'm certainly finally get over and call it X now, even though it's funny. Like, hey, man, Kev, you on X? Like, you know, that's a different connotation in some aspects, Kev, does it not?
It sounds
like
ridiculous.
Easier to say you on Twitter. Does that sound ridiculous?
Forget the different connotations and all that. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous. Follow me on X, man. All right, cool. No idea what that is. Follow me on Twitter. Oh, I got you.
Mammoth Hops chimes in here. Hashtag SG Moneyline. Two-pick parlay today, K-Dub. Plus 265. Bellinger over a half an RBI. Matt Olson over a half of a run. Plus 265. But Bellinger's one of those guys that feels like he just plug and play. Who cares if he's going against the best pitcher? He just always seems to find himself right in the middle of the madness there for the Cubs. Even though today maybe doesn't match up all that well. But... lefty on lefty today. I don't know. Maybe just take a swing at him again here for Bellinger. What do you say?
The breakdown, again, I want from you as many times as possible is that Braves-Rockies game, quite frankly. That's the thing that fascinates me the most because I know for you're like, look, either things match up or they don't. I'm not as worried about what the number comes in at, but 7.5 is an extreme number. Your RBI shots, Donnie. I told now FanDuel's a little different. I know the numbers aren't as eight of nine batters with a minus number next to their name to secure an RBI. I mean, it's just jaw-dropping the statistics that are checking in for that baseball game.
Yeah, let me I'm pulling up some pitchers reports here. Okay, got them up. I just want to see because I didn't take a look yet to see who's at the bottom of the barrel. But let me see. Austin Gomber. Yeah, he is good. Okay. All right. Ooh, this is good news today. It's good news. We got 24 pitchers, Kevin, over the past about 6.5 weeks time frame. Minimum 20 innings pitched. We have 24 pitchers rated. And then 15 through 24, all five or better XFIP numbers. So we're going to spend some money tonight, and that's always a good thing because that means that you have numbers that you can go on. Best pitcher on the card today, no surprise for me, Zach Gallen, 3.33 XFIP number. Worst pitcher on the card today, which every time, Kevin, every time this guy shows up on the card, he's the worst. Who is it today? Who would be the worst pitcher on the card today?
It's fine. I almost want to like guess without knowing every name, but hold on. Let me because I should
every
be able
time
to get
he comes
this.
Up, he's always the worst. You could probably just skip through the names and just immediately find it. Like, well, that's him.
Oh, you know? Hold on. I want to give it a let me. Oh, that guy's always bad. That
put it,
guy's
up
oh, Wayne
right. No. This guy's ERA is 9 over the past 6 weeks with an X. I never knew XFIP is 7.19. It's almost unheard of. What that means, Kevin, is every ball is hit to the warning tracker into the seats. That's what that,
is
that tells you.
Is that Yankee great Luis Severino?
Nope, it's Michael Kopech.
Oh my gosh, is it really?
Yes. 34 innings pitched, 8 starts, 7 ERA, 8.92 FIP, 7.19 XFIP. Like, unheard of numbers for a guy. Usually, that's the numbers that you're like, okay, we gave you 3 starts, go back down to the minors. That's what he is over the past 6 weeks. Like, he shouldn't even be in Major League Baseball. He's been that bad.
No, I got to tell you something. When it comes to Kopech, and you're, because when you say it, I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I never can make that adjustment that that guy is now basically terrible. Mm-hmm. I just can't. It's really hard for me. And I guess his good run still sticks with me. So it's just, it's surprising. I have to tell you, it's very surprising to me that this is what's happened to Kopech. But look, it's kind of one of those, you know, get in line type things, because this is the state of everybody, right, in terms of that Chicago White Sox team, just falling off a cliff.
And just to let you know, like, how bad some of his numbers are, at least, hey, man, it's having a bad couple weeks. What do you want from the guy? This is 535 at-bats, ISO 238, when the average is 170. Anything above that, you're getting torched as a pitcher. Weighted on base percentage, 320. He's at about a 350, or 360, excuse me. But here's the problem that you run into, right? You talk about, like, you know, ground ball percentage, which it's only 35%, which means roughly two-thirds of every baseball is in the air, which is why his XFIP is so high. The more of those, the more home runs you get. So when people hear me talk about ISO power numbers and XFIP, why do you think I take those RBI props? What's the fastest way for an RBI? Put one in the seats. 2 RBI. Same thing. Man on base, put one in the seats. Hard hit percentage, Kevin. Which means, and again, like, barreling up a baseball is basically what it is. Now, granted, barreling, it's hard to quantify what a barrel is. He's bad at it. But I just want to say, when you watch hard contact, like, ooh, that's a rocket to the first baseman on the ground.
Yep.
That's a rocket up the middle. That's a rocket home run here. 51% of his contact is hard. Not soft, not medium. Hard contact. Every other ball that touches the bat is rocked off of Kopech. That's unbelievable. Yeah.
But it's not only unbelievable that he's that bad, it's unbelievable that at one point he looked great. And remember, the idea on Kopech is like, ooh, that guy eventually will be great. Like, how does a guy live up to his promise for basically just a singular season? And it's like, no, never mind. Like, he's terrible now. Like, they're going to have to study what happened to that White Sox team in a lab. Where it would be, it's not apples to apples, but essentially, Donnie, it would be like if we flip it around and all of a sudden you look at the Atlanta Braves and it's like, yeah, actually their entire lineup stinks and Spencer Strider's the worst pitcher on the mound today. It's impossible. It was a bunch of young, great baseball players. Stunning, man. Stunning.
No, it doesn't make sense. And the only reason really he's really pitching now still is, A, they're hoping he wakes up, and B, they have nobody else. They traded everybody else away. They're not bringing up just, you know, our top prospects when he was a top prospect like 2 years ago. And again, this is not one of those like, hey, man, he had 132 at-bats, we'll get it together. 535 at-bats getting crushed all the way through the season. And he shows up again today. He'll go up against Baltimore. And we talked about Gunnar Henderson, Anthony Santander, Ryan Mountcastle. They'll be able to get a pretty good look at him. 75-degree temperatures. Where is that game? It's actually in Baltimore, so it's better than being in Chicago. One of those games where I just, you know, get a chuckle at it. But as I stated, though, we got a lot of pitchers. How many pitchers is that right here? We got here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got 10 pitchers at a 5 XFIP or higher, which is crazy. And by the way, Adam Wainwright, He's got a 5.37 xFIP, which is terrible. But the best part about that is, too, he's got close to an 11 ERA over the past 6 weeks. And you say, what? It's 25 and two-thirds innings. 0-5 on the mound through six starts. Getting absolutely crushed. Now, granted, why is Adam Wainwright still pitching? Well, he's an icon in that organization. They're not making the playoffs. They don't want to embarrass him and say he's, you know, DFA'd at this point. They're just going to let him pitch out the string and say, hey, you know what? Eat some innings, give up some home runs, have some laughs, and, you know, you'll go off into retirement at the end of the year.
Is this set to be his last season, Wayno?
I think this year was supposed to be his last season, like, anyway. But even how he pitched, it was amazing that he even came back. So it's one of those where, again, that's a proud baseball franchise. Like, doing him a solid right now. I'm not like, hey, look, man, we just take you out of the line. Now, granted, if they were two games out of the wild card and he's getting bum-rushed every fifth day, he's not out there. And he would be smart enough to say, hey, you know what? If you want to put me in the bullpen, go ahead. You know, if I can give an inning here or there, I'll help and, you know, we'll see what we can do. He wouldn't be in the starting rotation because he's terrible.
But he will, and again, you're right. He'll get a really nice moment in their very, you know, home finale, and you know that's kind of the way you want to send a guy out like that. But now, look, when you're old, a drop off like that happens in athlete terms, of course. Old. He was good for them last year, though, wasn't he? Like that Cardinals team, wasn't Wainwright actually a very trustworthy arm at the front of that rotation?
I think he was. He wasn't pitching like this because he wouldn't have been asked to come back at that age. So he must have had I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you that it wasn't nearly as bad, which means he probably was halfway decent last year. So, but, I mean, that's one of those teams where both of those teams we're talking about now with Kopech and also Wainwright. Rewind the tapes. March 15th. Hey, Don, who thinks going to win the NL Central? That's Cardinals, man. They're going to wipe the floor with everybody. Well, how about the Central in the American League? Well, we know the Twins are okay, but the White Sox are the class of that division. Both stink out loud.
Yeah, no, it's both remarkable, but both for different reasons, and it'll be interesting. You know, St. Louis is kind of that franchise, like you've said, you expect to reset and find, you know, something heading into next year because this just is not who they are. But I don't know what to expect from the White Sox at all. I mean, this feels like who they are now because it's now been 2 years of this.
All right, now flip it back over to the NFL as we keep flip-flopping back and forth. You're not going to be on the radio tomorrow. Tuesday, you know, the RS go solo mission. Tuesday, Wednesday, gearing up, having some fun. But tomorrow's a big day. And it's because the NFL is going to have cutdowns. Now, that's not the reason why I'm asking this question, because I don't think this guy is going to get cut and just be out there as a free agent having some fun. That's Jonathan Taylor of the Indianapolis Colts. The deadline is tomorrow, from what we've told or been told by the Colts. You have, I don't know, a week to make this deal, if not no deal, which I do laugh at that because it's like, yeah, you know what? See, Jonathan Taylor, like, let's just say 12:01. Morning practice the next day, you know, team after all the cuts. You're trying to put your key card in the door and like, hey, man, I told you we couldn't make this deal. You're not even on our team anymore. That's not happening here. But also the other aspect of it, he's not going to show up Wednesday morning like, man, you know what? It was so much fun, man. Four or five teams gave me these big contracts, and the Colts were like, nah, we're not going to trade you. And I'm cool with everything. Let me ask you this. Is he there on Wednesday morning ready to go, or is he on another football team?
No, he's got to be somewhere else, right? I think the thing that I saw, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't the most recent Taylor update. He's at practice but still physically unable to perform.
But I think that's just a cover, though. It's got to be. It's just a cover at this point. They're just buying time, and I don't know, because Shane Steichen over there is being told, like, hey, by the way, he's here, he's not here, he's here, he's not here. This guy's getting ran all over the place as a first-year head coach. We got a lot more hot topics to get to, which includes, will the roster be different tomorrow for the Colts, and will they have more draft compensation back? Let's talk about that and more. It's Moneyline in the afternoon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
My money line, new week, new money. Yeah, we're going to cash in Major League Baseball today. I'm feeling it. We're going to spend, you got to, as they say, Kevin, spend some money to make some money. And I was telling people while you were away for a couple minutes there, I erred in my ways, but I had a good thought process behind it. Now, anybody hears Kevin and I go talk about Major League Baseball, it's really RBIs. And that's the market that's a lot of fun because it's big plus money. For one, you get solid plus money. For two, you're paying bills at that point. So yesterday, Kevin, I don't remember the exact amount. I think I might have had 12 total RBI props in. But here's what I did. I took those 12 just to get one RBI, which I think at the end of the day, three or four cashed that ticket in. Four. But three of them, Kevin, had two RBI. But I didn't take that market. If I did, that's plus money no matter what happens. You're talking like 500, 600, 700, boom, boom, boom. Now, I actually said to myself, okay, well, let's just see if we can take the safe route, which means get a couple single RBI out there and make some money, but also let's take the double shot. And it wasn't a lot of money. I took three round robins of three players apiece, right? So it was $10 a piece. It was $30, $30, $30. So it figuratively is $10 parlays that you're going into it. Now, the thought process behind that was the payouts, Kevin, right? Let's just say 3, 3, and 3, right? If I look at any one of the combinations, it was no less, Kevin, than $500 if they matched. Meaning, if I had two of the three guys, that's $500 minimum. If I, it was like, Kevin, it was like $30 that paid out like $1,300 if it all three of those guys hit. Which, again, you're not talking about like, oh, you need five quarterbacks to throw for 400 yards on Sunday. Like, no, two RBI, which is not, you know, common per se, but when you hear a guy at two RBI, it's like, yeah, okay, he had a good day. So the numbers are there. Now, here's where I messed up. If you put all of those, let's just say 12, Kevin, in a singular round robin, the problem with that is, let's just say, if I have two players on Seattle, two players on Baltimore, two players, because that's basically what I was doing yesterday, fading the bad pitchers, taking the best players in those lineups here. Because you sort of knock yourself out. And the reason I say that is I wanted to have equal representation in all of them. Because if I have, let's just say, Seattle, and I have two run home runs, Julio Rodriguez, Cal Raleigh, they can't match each other. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can get both of them, and let's just say nobody else hits a home run, you lost money. So, like, that doesn't make any sense. But in a round robin on Bet365, it has to be individualized per game. So if you took Julio Rodriguez, matched him up with Jorge Soler and Ryan Mountcastle, now all three of those can round robin themselves. You see what I mean? Like, you can win all three, but you could get two of three in cash. So I'm like, okay, let me be smart. But I didn't think it all the way through. Because the way it turns out, Kevin, if I would have just did 12 guys in a round robin, $10 a piece, which again would have been $120, that payback would have been almost $1,300 minimum. And that's going on the low end. And I got nothing out of those round robins. You see that? Like, I didn't outsmart myself, but I didn't do the smart thing. And now I like learning lessons like that because now I look at it and go, like, stop looking at it as a negative. Like, oh, well, I had these two. But if I would have did it individual, I would have made more money. If I just would have did it all in one, and again, it's not that much, 1.2 units, would have had at least $1,300 in my pocket.
Wow. So now for tonight, so what is the setup for tonight? Take me through that and how you want to play that.
Here's what I don't think I'm going to do. Now, granted, sometimes, and this could go the wrong direction. I think if you just take one, and again, using the best services that give you the best odds, right? Let's just go with that. I think you could do very well just taking like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 legit, not just a best guy on the team. No, the numbers are there, you take them, whether it's three guys or 13 guys. You got to put it in play. Ooh, I don't know if I want to bet 13. You know how that works out. You'll bet five and six other guys will hit and you didn't take them, and that's what the issue is. If the numbers are there, you trust it. So I think if you bet one RBI across the board over the length of a season, you can do very well for yourself. But the pressure then starts to ramp up when you say, you know what? Instead of doing one, let me just do two across the board. Because Kevin, you could take six and hit. You can go 1 for 5 and have a profit. Like, that's ridiculous. Yep. No. That's what they pay for two RBI. And again, yesterday, you had Jorge Soler, you had Julio Rodriguez, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I had. All three of those guys hit two-run home runs. So if you're betting 13 and you hit three of those, and if you just match it up in a round robin, it's all over the place. So I'm figuring myself, and again, listen to this, people. 12 guys in a round robin, right? And if you can just get two of those 12 guys, and they're not random, Kevin. We're not like, oh, man, well, you got to take four pitchers, right? That's the way it goes. No, you're taking the best of the best. If you can get two guys to get two RBI that are not on the same team, right? You're looking at $600 back at least from a $120 investment. Just two out of the 12.
But you're saying you can't be on the same team, but I'm sorry if you already said this, but I'm trying to keep up.
Yes.
Can you do the same game or that? No.
You can. You can pick seven guys. Like, here's what you can't do, right? If I take a team, right? Let's just say Phillies and the Angels tonight,
yep.
Kevin, right?
Yep.
I'm going to go Moustakas, and I'm going to go Ohtani. I'm going to go Trey Turner and Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
You can go 4-for-4, Kevin, and they won't cash. None of them.
Right.
You can get them all. Two RBIs apiece. It has to be, like, I just say same team because sometimes it does wind up where I'm like, hey, man, I like two on this side, two on the other. But if you're just breaking it down, let's just say you have six pitchers you want to fade, and each one of those teams has two guys you want to take, two from Seattle, two from Philadelphia. Here's what you can't have. The two from Philadelphia, like, let's just say you went, like, I'm going to go Schwarber and Harper tonight. If those are the only two guys that connect on multiple RBI, you won't get paid a penny of it. So that it's sort of, I learned that lesson a long time ago. Like, hold on. Like, I actually had the contact bet 365 one time. I was like, man, I got like four guys. I got no money here. I was like, oh, you know what? Because they give you the table of who pays out, like the matchups there. And what I noticed, I didn't need an answer after that. I just said, oh, okay. It's the same game. You can't match the same. But again, if you have, I'm telling you, like 12 guys, Kevin, just two of them. And I'm talking about you are taking the best of the best, hottest players at the plate versus tomato can pitchers. When you think about that, and again, you get 6 of 12, which I've done many a nights, $3,000 in your pocket?
Yeah, right. Now, is with these round robins, DRS, though, like you said, let's just say you get 3 of 12, right? You get the odds as if you parlayed three guys for 2+ RBIs?
No, it's more. You would get more on the parlay, though. Because here's what I'm going to do. Let me. I'm going to log into my account and just give you a couple of examples of what that would be. Because again, the numbers are eye popping for like 2 out of 3, but the 3 of 3 doesn't pay as much as the 3 of 3 on a parlay. If that makes sense, right? Because otherwise, why would you be doing a parlay? Like, you idiot. Like, you get paid the same if all three hit, and then you also get paid if 2 of the 3 hit? It's a little bit less than that. Because the trade-off is you're getting the round-robin aspect of it.
Right. So my other question for you is, just because, you know, I'm asking the questions the people need answered.
Sure.
Is that 365 the only place? I know they have the best numbers, but is this the only place that you've found to do round-robin RBI shots like this?
No, FanDuel. FanDuel will have it.
Okay.
Yeah, FanDuel has it.
Okay.
I've seen that before. Again, they're not as good, but also FanDuel lets you do like the same game parlay ones, which you don't get on Bet365. Like, I don't think I can get.
So you would cash the Schwarber Harper portion.
Watch this. Yeah, because I'm going to do it right now. So we'll go total or player runs batted in milestones, and I'll go. Let me see. Bryce Harper is 550 tonight to get two RBI. Schwarber 650 to get two RBI against a guy he lines up against, which is just wild to think about that. Like, look, if you were just looking to parlay those, 48-1. If Hart, like, think about this, though. In common sense terms, 48-1 on Harper and Schwarber to get two RBI. It's crazy. Like, that's one swing of the bat from those guys, right?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
That's 6-1, 7-1 would make some sense. So, in effect, a $25 wager. Why isn't this showing this to me here? It's not showing it out on this one. Let's see, hold on. Oh, hold on, hold on. I got it. All right, $25 wager here. Oh, see, they don't let you here. That's what I was trying to prove a point. Like I said, two RBIs on that. You can't match them up on Bet365 on that end.
Right.
But if you went like three different from three different teams, then you would be able to do that. So let me do that right now. It's almost like a live shot on just some random guys. Let's just see what we got here. So we'll go player runs batted in. We'll keep it at 2. So we'll go with Schwarber at 650 in this game. Then we'll slide it down just to picking random guys out. Detroit Tigers, I told you. It's like, you know what? They got a couple guys in that lineup here. Let me go down and see what they have. Where's Torkelson at? What's he lined up with today? Well, yeah, it's work. 600. So right there, you could match those up. That's 51-1 as that play. So $25 would bring back $1,300 if Schwarber and Torkelson got that. Now, let's take it up to a third notch here and go one more. Because I just want to show the people again where we were doing this little simple math last week going over some numbers and saying, now, hold on now. Like, this doesn't even make sense, like a $10 wage. Let's see. Who else is a guy that we are lining? Okay, we'll go Baltimore Orioles, and we'll pick Anthony Santander. Let's see what he has here. So we'll go with runs batted in milestones for two. Where are you at, Santander? Plus 550. Three of those guys, Kevin, turns into 340-1, which a $25 wager would give you back $6,300 on that. Now, if we go to a round robin here and max that up by twos, so we'll put 25, we'll go $25 a piece. It'll be a $75 total wager. And this is where it gets incredible, because this is why I was lining it up, Kevin, is in the threes. Like, let's, again, you're talking about Torkelson, Santander, and Schwarber. Three guys I legitimately think have a great shot at it. If you line up, let's just say, Schwarber and Torkelson, that's $1,300 on your $25 bet. If you line up Torkelson and Santander, that's $1,137 off a $75 wager. You hit all three, obviously, it's going to be $1,312. You're looking at almost $4,000 in your pocket if you get three of those guys to get two on a $75 wager. So that's when we were just messing around. They really caught my attention, because you sound like, okay, you can pick one and it's nice. But anytime now, I'm almost thinking too, because I'm trying to, you know, extrapolate. It's fun to talk this out too on the air, where it's not just like, hey, let me go over bullet points. But how can I equate this to the NFL? How can I equate this to the NBA, where you're taking round robins at plus money, where you don't need to sweep the board? You got to get two of four, and you're playing, man, that's really nice. I got a great payout there. That's what I'm trying to see. But right now, I think I just need to stick to the plan with my bankroll and unload on two RBI prop all the way through the end of September. Because there are going to be nights where I go, okay, I got 12 guys, hit three. Wow, man, I just made $1,000. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that those, the two RBI, see, it's kind of funny, because I feel like now for a year, it's been this, how do we perfect? And when I say we, I'm almost like a consultant, right? I don't really do much. But, you know, so I should say, I guess, how do you perfect the usage of the numbers that you have at your disposal and what they're telling you you're expecting from the night, right? Because you used to do the hitter prop parlays, and then like, oh, we'll do some home run shots, and it's all right, we'll do the, you know, the doubles market for a little, right? Like, and it really does feel like this use here of two plus RBIs captures it all. It really does.
Now, sometimes it's wild too yesterday, because sometimes I try to improve on my strategy, which I'm going to get to this in the next segment. It's a short one here. But yesterday, there were 17 runs in the Astros game. I had two guys to get two RBI.
Come on now.
I got one RBI out of 17 runs. And I'm going to tell you about a theory I have coming up after the break on maybe on changing the tide on one RBI. Come on back. Hear me out on this one. It should get interesting. It's Moneyline. Donnie, Kevin.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment before we hit the top of the hour here on a Monday afternoon of Moneyline. Phone call lines, they're going to be open all hour number two, 844-843-6879. But I did want to bring up this topic here just for a moment, which was RBI. And yesterday, just joking about, like, the Houston Astros scored 17 times yesterday. I had two guys in the middle of that lineup. Alex Bregman, who, again, got pinch hit for, I have no idea why, in, like, the seventh inning. Thanks, buddy. Had two more bats coming. And the guy who pinch hit for him, of course, he fills in with a couple RBI. But that's neither here nor there. But it's also a strategy sometimes you look at, because if you're going with two RBI, you want the power guys. You want the ISO matchups. You want pitchers that give up fly balls. That's what makes some sense. But I'm almost starting to get the feeling that it's not random, Kevin, but some of the guys in the lineup, like if you go outside of the really good hitters, because you know what that means? They're going to be on base repeatedly, right? High-weighted on-base percentages. If you can get a guy, like maybe fifth or sixth in the lineup, that has a good price and not great numbers, I almost feel like he has just every bit an opportunity to at least get a single RBI than that power guy has, whether it be the Olsen theory, right? He's so good, every time he comes out with a runner in scoring position, we're just putting him on base because we want to face Sean Murphy instead. Boom, Sean Murphy ground out, runner scores RBI through a sack. You know what I mean? So I'm sort of getting to that point where there is randomness in RBIs, and sometimes I see it more than others. Like, how do all these guys get RBIs? Well, the thing is, the guys that you're betting, hey, like, listen to what I think it was the Astros game. I think I had two doubles in that game, and nobody had an RBI yet. I'm saying like stuff because why? Nobody was on base. But you know what, Kevin? They got driven in because they were on second base already at that point. So there's so many things going through my mind, but I know tonight I'm just going to start, keep it simple, and fire away on straight up round robins, two RBIs all the way through. It's the best one.
Yeah, I am excited to see the results. I think I'm going to see if I can. No. Don't stop.
Let's do
how did
one.
You already? No. What's
one,
you stop?
Two home runs.
No. What?
I think I might just put bankrolls every night on things. I'm just taking this thing out live on the air. Maybe it is home runs that are better. Who knows? I know one thing. Hour number two is coming up here, and we're going to get after it. The NFL. We're a week and a half away, people. Let's take a look at some of these odds. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline.